Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here on Solid Ground. And this week we've been going through a verse-by-verse study of chapter 1 of the book of Joshua, and today we will wrap up verses 1 through 4. And Pastor Brian is looking at the idea of the value of having the Lord involved in the battles that we face, the idea that if the Lord is involved in it, that it will be successful. So let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
And just like Joshua had to lead through impossible barriers, we have impossible barriers. If it happens, it's going to be the Lord. But isn't that really what you want? Because when the Lord brings it about, that's where there's lasting fruit. As I said, even with human relationships, you know, I only want relationships going to have lasting and bearing fruit for God's kingdom. That after I die, if the Lord tarries for a long time, there's going to be lasting fruit of churches that are planted. They're going to go on and impact other people's lives for the gospel. I don't have to have anything to do with me or my name or our church for some glory. We want God's kingdom to be established because that's where lasting fruit is going to be. And if this is a property that he has, that's what we want. If it's not, then so be it. But either way, we need to walk by faith. Now, Joshua could have backed off. He could have sat there. But no, Moses died. Time to move forward. I believe it's time for us to move forward as a congregation. It's going to take faith. There's going to be opposition as well. It's not just going to roll over and happen. Let's walk by faith and see what God will do. I believe he's put desires, not only in my heart, I believe in many in this congregation. There's an expectancy of God's birthing something. He's going to bear tremendous fruits. And it's going to require faith on our part and discipline and walking in obedience and being involved in spiritual warfare as well. But I say we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by Visa or MasterCard or our bank account. We walk by confidence in the Lord, that God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we've been seeking him. We've been asking God to work. I believe that he is a rewarder when people will start drawing close to God and press in and say, Lord, we want to see your kingdom further. He's looking all over the world for hearts like that he could come in and support and bring his blessing. We need to have that confidence. Why God would use us has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with him and his plan and his purpose. But to get our eyes off ourselves, it's on his strength and his might, what he wants to accomplish, what he wants to bring his people into, that fullness of blessing. Go back to Joshua chapter 1 if you're not there. And this last point, and please take this to heart, is that God's blessings are conditional. God's blessings are conditional. Because here's the land that the Lord gave this nation, verse 4, it says, from the wilderness in this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Now one of the passages that you might want to write down is Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 and a few others after that. God said the same thing to Abraham. He said, lift up your eyes as far as the east, the west, the south, that you could see. I've given it to your descendants. Now go in and walk through the land. And basically, as you walk through it, you're taking ownership of that territory. Now, a couple chapters later, God says, Abraham, don't get too excited. This land doesn't actually belong to you. It's going to belong to your descendants. Because what's going to happen is 400 years from now, I'm going to bring a great deliverance of your descendants. They'll come out of bondage, and I'll bring them in to possess this land. He said, because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. This land, these people that were dwelling in the land, God says, I still have patience with them. I'm not going to bring my judgment yet. 400 years later, it'll come, and I will drive these people out. Then he gives that promise to Moses. He gives the exact same promise to Moses that he gave to Joshua. Everywhere the sole of your foot treads, I've given that land to you. And that generation that heard those words from Moses, as well as Moses, did not enter into this promise. Then it's re-given to Joshua into this new generation. That whole generation died off of 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And now he says to a new generation that hasn't walked in unbelief and murmuring and complaining and griping, God says, go in and possess the land. And here's the territories. And unfortunately, the nation of Israel never possessed the entire dimensions described in verse 4. Even to this day, they have never possessed the entire territory that God gave to them because of their own disobedience, because of their idolatry, because of their unbelief, and because they became stubborn and stiff-necked. As I look at that, I don't want to be an individual or a congregation that comes into three-quarters of what God has for us. I don't want to find 75% of the blessing, as approximately, that's about what they possessed at one time. Up to approximately 75% of the land that God gave to them. Now ultimately, I believe when Jesus Christ comes back, He'll establish His millennial reign, and not only will they get the entire territory, the whole earth will belong under the subjection of the Messiah, Son of David. But God had greater plans for His nation that they've come into. The same is true for the life of a church. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, unless you repent, I'm going to remove your lampstands. He spoke to churches, if you're going to overcome, you need to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches, and He's there to correct and refine and to purify. And although there's promises that God's given to us, you cannot separate the promise from the commands that the Lord gives us. And we're going to learn through the book of Joshua how to go in and possess the things that the Lord has given to us. And again, as a church, I want to come into the fullness. Not 70%, 80%, 90%, 100% of what the Lord has for us. I want that for my life, for my family. I want this for the congregation. I believe you do as well. But it is not guaranteed. We could distort and hinder the work that God is desiring to do here. Get our eyes on the wrong things. We could walk in doubt and unbelief. Let the flesh dominate our life. We got man's wisdom govern and control the church and decisions that are made. A lot of things could hinder the fullness of what God wants to bring in. That's why these blessings come gradual, little by little. God wants to show us how to come into fuller and greater things for His kingdom. Things that we haven't faced before, and it takes faith, doesn't it? It takes spiritual warfare. Isn't it interesting? I think if you'd look at your life, that the way God works is that He requires faith for you to come into the things that He has for you. And on a scale, you know, measuring it humanly, let's say it takes this much faith on a scale to enter into this one blessing. Seems like the next blessing that God wants to bring you into takes just a little more faith, doesn't it? It's not like He asks you to double your faith or triple it or quadruple it or this huge amount of faith. Seems like He stretches out little by little. And so each time that we come into something that God wants us to walk by faith is preparing us for that next blessing. And these blessings, I believe, get greater and greater and greater and fuller in relationship to His kingdom and His purposes. And each one's important. And we need to learn how to come into the fullness of what God has. But mark my word, not everyone sitting here today will experience, unfortunately, what the Lord's wanting to do in the heart of this congregation. It's not an automatic. It's not just something that I could pray and it's going to happen. There needs to be cooperation on all of our hearts, submitting to what God's trying to speak to us. We need to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. And when God speaks through His Word and into our hearts, we need to respond. Not being slow to respond. For example, one area I've been encouraging, exhorting is the area of prayer. There's going to be things that will happen because we ask and seek and knock. And it'll be things that will not happen because we haven't asked and sought and knocked on the Lord's door. So when we start emphasizing prayer, and I taught on it, again, it's not for a small group of people, but it's for the heart of this congregation. Same in all the areas that we would sow into through the study of God's Word, that as a congregation we'd come into the fullness of what the Lord has. I don't know about you, I don't want to be a spectator watching God's work through other people or through other churches. I want to see it happen in my life and in your life and through this congregation. He's asking us to walk in faith and obedience and realize there's opposition. The greater is He that's in us and He that is in this world. I believe God has great things. I believe He has fullness. There's a boundary of blessing. I want to go right to the edge of what that is and experience all of it. I want to, as Jude says, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep ourselves in that place that God could pour out His Spirit and flow His work through us. Amen.